Welcome to the My Wife Is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us. Toy collecting.
With Travis Bowles.
He traded a Hulkbuster for that.
I go and see the doctor and he says, hey, you got to lose some weight. He told me he wants to put me on some weight loss pill.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, sign me up for that shit.
Pete McCarthy.
If you don't pull out like a 1994 S10 pickup out of that box, you got that opinion is wrong, Steven. Nothing you can say makes that not wrong. I'm literally chewing Travis's fecal matter. I'm swallowing it down so I can keep talking. All right?
And your host, Steve Bisciotti.
I could arm wrestle her, and then I could beat her, and I could probably impress her because she'd be like, wow, this guy's even tougher than the Mandalorian. I don't know why it says bullpen.
That's where the artists and writers will sit in a bullpen. That's
oh, you couldn't say that nowadays. It'd have to be bulls and cows.
Me.
I think I am this show. Welcome, everybody, to the road to 200. That's right. We're heading straight to episode 200. But we got to stop along the way for gas. That's what this episode is. You know, we just got to make a little pit stop. Record a little something. Right, Trav?
Without a doubt. We want to do something special for 200, so we're working on that, and we're going to have some build-up.
Yeah. Yeah. No Pete today. I don't know what to say about that.
I know what to say. D&D is more important.
D&D. What the hell? Remember when he used to love this podcast?
Remember when he used to make fun of people that played Magic the Gathering?
Yeah. I do.
And then he started playing Magic the Gathering?
Yeah. Yeah. What a hypocrite. Huh. Oh, well. You're stuck with me and Travis today. We'll try to do something fun. No promises.
No promises whatsoever.
Got some good stuff to talk about.
We do. I think this is going to be one of those episodes that people that like toys are going to be like, man, that was a really good episode.
Yeah.
Ah, that's a stretch. That wasn't a bad episode.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst.
Right. That's probably where we're headed. Enter Cody is in the house. If there's anything amusing from YouTube, he might let us know. Realistically, he's probably not going to because he's not going to find very much of it amusing. But
right.
We shall see, of course. This is how much Cody's like, I don't really want to be involved. He literally gave me his phone.
So you can watch the comments.
Yeah, but it's his phone and it's open.
Do we have a link so that people in the support group know this is happening right now?
Oh, we should do that.
Can we do that, Cody? Can you do that?
Just post it. Yeah, he's like, yeah, from my phone. Facebook login, right? You're in the support group, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I could probably post that.
I would think.
We need to make him an admin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he'd just love that.
Well, then he could just post do it under My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me.
Yeah, that's true. We could do that. We'll figure it out.
Let's figure this out on mics.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. That's a great time to do it.
We're good. You know, it's like pooping on work time.
So it's been a while since we've been on the mics, and a lot happened for us last weekend.
Yeah, a lot.
And while we didn't have a My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me episode, we were online. If you go on our YouTube, you can watch our interaction for Legions Con, which was absolutely amazing. And
well, I don't know if we were amazing.
Oh, no.
But being part of it was amazing for us.
And the show in itself.
Yeah.
It was just, I'll be honest, I really didn't expect it to be as enjoyable as it was. Because I just thought sitting watching these breakout rooms and this,
let's face it, you were kind of dreading it.
When they didn't ask me to be a moderator, I was so thankful.
Okay, that's where you're going. I thought you were still going to play the...
No. I really was thankful because I was like, man, I got all kinds of stuff to do. And I love this stuff, but I'm like sitting for 7 hours or whatever watching, you know, something on a computer screen. I just didn't think... And even in the past G-Cons, they would always fall on like a show, like a con. Mm-hmm. So like I would be setting up for the con with it playing like in the background. And so like I still would enjoy it and everything, but it wouldn't be like I was immersed in it. You know what I mean? I didn't expect it to be as enjoyable as it was. And I don't want that to come off the wrong way because it was super awesome.
Well, you got to understand Travis's brain. Have you ever attended a panel at a con?
Maybe twice. And I've been to a lot of cons.
Really? What panels would have drew you in? Because every time...
I think one I sat with part of it with you, and that was Pixel Dan. No. Jordan Hembro.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Jordan Hembro, the toy hunter. He was at a show in Indiana that we did.
Yeah.
I think it might have been Ohio, but regardless.
It's Indiana.
Okay, Indiana.
Indianapolis.
And he did a panel, and it was like, what, there's maybe like 30 people there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was really kind of intimate and kind of fun, but Jordan, while I respected the show and his knowledge and everything, the toy hunter, a lot of that stuff's so staged.
Oh, yeah.
That when I watch it, I'm like, I just, it's hard for me to really get into it. Yeah. I still enjoy the content, but you're right. I don't go to panels ever. I have no interest.
We'll go to these shows, and I will mention that I want to go see a panel, and he'll be like, go.
Please. Have fun.
When I get back and I try to tell him about what I saw at the panel, he doesn't really care. He's just looking at me and going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're like, they said this. They said this.
Yeah, he does not care at all. So, translate that into basically a con that you can't just aimlessly walk your ADD ass around looking at things, and you have to sit here and pay attention to a screen. Travis was like a little bit, had a little bit of a claustrophobic feel over it.
Yeah.
But that being said, after it was all done, you were pretty happy.
I don't think pretty happy quite describes how I felt. The fact of the matter is G-Con was amazing because every half an hour, it seemed like they were dropping a reveal of some absolutely amazing figures that we were super excited for. So that made that so much fun. And then we sat here together and watched G-Con, which I also think made it that much more enjoyable. You know, producer Cody was here helping us get ready. So it was just a fun experience. And G-Con was absolutely amazing. And then to have, you know, like a half an hour at the end of it to kind of wrap things up was pretty darn cool. And, you know, we love the Horsemen, obviously. You know, I mean, this is a podcast about toys, but anybody that listens to this knows that Mythic Legions is our number one. And so to be part of that is just an amazing experience. You know, and so then you take the next day, which is LegionsCon, which isn't, you know, run by the Four Horsemen. They're part of it.
Yes.
But it is Joe Vertaria and Jeremy Gerard. And they put together just this amazing, fun show. And like I told Steve, like for the breakout rooms, I spent the majority of my time in Lens, Wolf King Customs. Steve was in there. And I'll be honest, a lot of our podcast listeners were in there.
Yeah, there was a lot of familiar faces that were commenting.
Yes. There's a lot of other people there, too.
Yeah, that we didn't know were there because they didn't comment. But
I was having a lot of fun with that while I was doing that. I mean, I had earbuds in and had my phone in my hand, and I was blowing leaves. And, you know, I was doing yard work around my house. And it really just kind of like it made it for a real fun experience. And then we got together, watched a little bit more of it, and then jumped into, you know, the end where we got to be part of a really just amazing experience. And if you're not aware of what we're talking about, there is a game company creating a Mythic Legions based game. And there's going to be a Kickstarter for it. It will be something that we as fans are going to have to back to make happen. But I will tell you, I am super excited about it. And we had the opportunity to talk with the game creators multiple times leading up to it. And I am super excited for the things that they are going to bring people, because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think this is going to be something that us Mythic Legions fans, of course, are going to enjoy the heck out of. But I also think, you know, this could bring Mythic Legions to a grander scale, or a grander stage, if you will. So, yeah, I've got high hopes for this, and I'm very excited about it and super thrilled to be basically the first guys to drop information about it, besides when they showed us that that little animation of what this may look at. We got to see Gorgo moving around on screen.
I think a lot of fans have been screaming for some story.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the toy collecting community, they need that. And we don't get me wrong, we get it from the bio cards and the comic book, which was, you know, very short, but we also need it. We want it. But we love the figures themselves. Some people, they have to have a story to really get invested
to attach.
In. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Which I totally understand that too. You know, I think we still have a little bit of that being able to create story in our minds aspect from our childhood, because let's be honest, we never really grew up.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of fans out there that they need more. And I think this is going to be an opportunity to get some of that.
Yeah.
You know,
it is
a lot of cool things came out of it. A lot of amazing news. A lot of this stuff is still available to go watch, you know, today.
Yeah.
If you were interested in checking it out, but some cool things, some points that are, I think, are very important. Obviously there's a pre-order going on right now, Store Horseman. It's a beautiful wave. I mean, there's a freaking moose, a full blown moose.
Ain't that ridiculous?
Oh my God.
In the coolest way.
And every time I see it, I still go, that is a beautiful looking action figure. Every time I see it.
Yeah.
What if you had to pick one from that wave? Like right now, you got to pick one. You only get one.
Oh, you only get one to have?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. You might be the moose.
Isn't it weird? But
just because it's so different.
It's so different. It's so
different.
To put
on your Mythic Legion shelf, that's like, you know, if I can't have the rest.
Yeah.
That's the most different thing I can think of.
Yeah. And I'm right there with you. I love all the figures.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, and I can understand where someone would say the Vampire Brew, you know, Ilithia. I understand all that, but I'm like, it's just imagine this beautifully crafted moose with this huge rack done by the Four Horsemen, so you know it's going to be top notch. It's just pretty exciting to think about, and also really goofy, but it's
goofy.
Cool. Yeah,
it fits Xylona's flock.
Oh yeah,
because there's some goofy stuff going on in there.
And I'll tell you the other thing that I was super excited about, that they said was that there is going to come a Legion Builder wave is coming, in some fashion. Now, does that mean they're just going to be available on the store, or is there going to be another pre-order? We don't know the answer to that, but it's coming, and that's pretty darn exciting.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, we need it. We need a Legion Builder wave.
Yeah.
I think that so many customizers and just people who want to have troops and troop build, and I think that the Four Horsemen can sell the bejesus out of them, and it's good for everybody.
Yeah, it is. And it's exciting, and it's going to come. So, hey, there's our recap of that weekend, which it doesn't even give it enough. But the reality of it is we talked about this stuff, and if you guys want to find that information, you go get it. It's actually on our YouTube page as well. If you want to find that, we're on YouTube right now. You could check it out, and I'll tell you, it's just an amazing experience.
Totally.
Yes. Totally.
And what's cool, if you do decide to go back and look at this this content, you know, you talk about these breakout rooms where, you know, me and I was in the Wolf King one with Len and Emil Vickman, and then there was, you know, Nicky Nicole Chaney had one, and there was, you know, just multiples going on at one. Well, it wasn't like if you're picking one, you're missing the content in the other. Because if you go back and watch this content, you can watch all of mine, and as soon as you're done with that, you can start with Nikki's and watch all of hers. You know, we got an echo. So you can get all of that, which mount, you know, what G-Con went or Legions Con went for maybe, I don't know, I'm just going to guess 8 hours, but there's more than 8 hours of content that you can watch. If you go back there, it's for $6 or whatever it costs. You can have hours and hours of stuff to watch. See anything good, Trav?
Motu Joe brought up Plastic Crack at Muskegon. He said I was in that. I was in that panel.
Because you were in it. Because you were actually on the panel.
I might have been on the panel. Yeah. I've been on a couple panels, so I guess I kind of attended those half-heartedly.
There you go.
Yeah. But Plastic Crack was amazing, and still waiting for season 2. But I think it's coming.
He's working on it.
Yep.
He's getting closer. And I'm excited to see what exactly he has in stock for us, because I know that there is going to be, I think there's going to be some things that we haven't seen yet, meaning me and you.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
I think.
That'll be pretty exciting. Yeah, I can't wait for that. So Road to 200, a couple things that I want to talk about. You know, we are kicking around some ideas for things we're going to do, and I think we got some fun ones, and I think Legions Con might have helped us with some of those ideas, so we'll see where that goes, because we really want the fans to be able to enjoy the whole experience with us. I'll be honest, our plan was always to have a big party and get everybody together, and we would record a live show, and obviously with what's going on, we're not able to do that. So we are going to figure out something else that we can do, and we'll see, but we're going to make it happen. We have an event going on right now for Joe Ryan, a longtime listener, battling cancer, and we want to do what we can to help him out. So we put together two lots. It's a $20 buy-in, and you get to pick which lot you're in. Obviously, if you want to pay more, you can be in both. One is a mythic lot with a ton of amazing pieces in there. The names involved in it are kind of astounding if you're a mythic fan, but when you start talking about William Robert Post and Zombie 13 and Jeremy Gerard and Len LaGuardia and Von Creep, Hobby Lobby, Chris Metalcamp, and yeah, that's it, I think. Oh yeah, Steve's in there too.
I am?
Yeah, you got a beautiful piece in there.
Dang.
Luke Kulikamp donated a cool piece that you had painted. So.
Oh.
Yep.
Yes, I'm aware.
It's an amazing lot that I would honestly put the value at somewhere around $500. It's pretty dang cool. Heidi included a Dio, which is a fun one, little bar scene. And if you're interested in getting on that, you just got to message us, drop 200 or drop 20 bucks into PayPal to me, and we will get you registered. And on the 200th episode, which we're hoping is about 2 to 3 weeks away, we will be raffling those off to whoever's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's fun. And like I said, it's going to a good cause, and all that money is going to Joe. So a couple things I also want to discuss. Matt Rodriguez put together was it the history of My Wife is Gonna Kill Me?
Origin.
The origin story of My Wife is Gonna Kill Me.
Yeah.
And Matt absolutely killed this. It's a wrap. We will feature it on the show at some point for sure when we can figure out how to make that happen. And we will share some links to it as well. We've already done that, but we'll do it again because it really is that good and super enjoyable. Did you laugh your butt off, Steve?
I did. When I saw what it was, and before I watched it, I was like, this is going to be ridiculous. I thought I was going to be one of those deals where I feel embarrassed for Matt. I thought it was going to be that bad. However, it didn't go that way because it was very good and it did make me laugh. And he did a great job. Bravo.
Yeah, absolutely killed it.
Yeah.
Just amazing. So, Matt, you're the man. And like I said, if you haven't seen it, go out and check it out because it is amazing. We got some fans here with us. Jim Bagtaz, Eric Bertram.
Nice.
KJ Smith, Super Curry Max, who greeted us with the appropriate Fat Boys. And he asked what the paper thing with the wax seal is. Look at this. Look at little eagle-eyed.
Yeah.
Eagle-eyed Super Curry. So that's a fun little part that we got that sent to us for G-Con. And I'm sorry, Legion's Con, and that was had to do with the game. So it's cool. It's got a four horseman seal on it. It's absolutely amazing. We talked about giving one away as a gift, but then we realized, no, we were selfish and we want to keep them. So
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
You want to get your own little four horseman stamp letter and go build yourself a podcast about Mythic Legions and try to about do us.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Spend some time on your knees like we did.
Yeah.
Brandon said, why do you get so quiet? And I'm not sure what Brandon is implying. I don't know if the audio is messed up or...
Should be good.
Yeah. Producer Coder said... Cody says good.
Coder. Ah!
Code.
All right.
Last but not least... Wings of Fire? Rain.
God's fire.
So Steven is working with the very talented Emily Wickman from Sweden, and they have put together this amazing little group of custom heads.
Yeah.
That then they put on some Templars and they painted. They created this amazing story. There is a really cool video out there on YouTube right now, and it not only has Emily, Steven, and it has the amazing Jeremy DeWitt involved as well. And it is a fun little thing. We want to talk about it a little bit, Steve?
Sure. It's just a little, you know, I tell you, I said this in the breakout rooms, but I gotta say it again because not everybody heard that. Working with Emil is truly like playing with a kid in the sandbox. You know, he's very creative. He's always doing something, whether not the same stuff. He might be sculpting. He might be doing 2D. He might be doing making a video or a small movie. You just never know what the guy is going to go on to next. And it's fun when you get drug along on some of this stuff. So, you know, we made these characters. Two of the heads are available. Two of the heads are coming at some point. So it basically kind of gives a little synopsis of what God's Fire is. And basically it's just a video that we wanted to make the whole thing look badass. Not only are, you know, Mythic Legions are just badass anyways, the Templar figures are fun as they are, but with Emil's photography, Emil's photography, and his abilities at editing and everything, paired with Jeremy's music, it just made a real kind of metal little scene.
Oh, it's awesome.
There's, you know, lots of great sound effects in there.
Oh, it's amazing.
Clanging.
And also share it on our page. Go check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's fun.
It's super cool. And I just love that it gives you the opportunity to really, you know, we like to tease Pete, who's not here because he's playing Dungeons & Dragons with another group of nerds right now. But I love that he gets to, like, let his, like, artistic freedom kind of flow with that stuff. And like I've said, I can't imagine what it's like for all those other people playing with him because he probably never shuts up. And won't stop talking about how amazing his bard is. But the fact that he has something like that that he really enjoys, I'm happy for him. And the fact that you don't leave the toy womb anymore because you're enjoying painting and conversing with these other super nerds like Emily, it makes me very happy for you.
Yeah, and it's not just Emil. I mean, me and Emil work pretty closely together in a lot of stuff, but I mean, we're batting stuff between Len and Jeremy, and we're all the same, cut from the same cloth. We just want to have fun.
Yeah.
We just want to be imaginative.
I mean, but not real fun.
We mean not real fun.
Well, like fake fun, like over the phone fun, like, but not even like sexting. Like, you mean more like just, like, I guess, talking about toys.
Yeah, that's fun for me.
Yeah.
Being creative is fun for me.
Understandable.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be physical.
It's usually a little bit more fun if there's some physical, though.
You think so?
Yeah. Mm. Just a little bit.
With your buddies?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like a hug once in a while? Maybe like a good game?
Well, that stuff's all fine and dandy, but, you know, it's hard to do from Maine and Sweden and New Jersey.
That's true. I guess you get around. So while you're in the toy womb, I had a little experience I'd like to tell you about.
Well, I'd love to hear about it.
I'm building a pool.
When you say you, financially, yes.
Yes.
You are building a pool.
I'm paying others to build a pool.
Yeah.
And I needed to go to this shed place the other day to buy my pool shed.
Okay.
And some patio furniture. So I drive up to this place, and it's the first time I've ever been there when it's open. I've been to it numerous times, walked through the sheds, looked at stuff, looked at prices, all these kind of things. This is the first time I've ever been there. So I pull in, I'm by myself. And I'm walking up to this place, and it's huge. I mean, it's a huge place.
This is that place off to the left when you're going to Fremont?
Yep, yep.
And they got all the sheds sitting out there?
Mast mini barns.
Okay.
Okay? So as I walk in the front door, I do what? Like, what do we have to do now when you go to any business?
Put a mask on.
I pull my mask up. Okay? I walk in the door, and literally there is 7 Amish people inside this place.
Yeah.
Not wearing a single mask. Like, not around their necks, not around, hanging from their ear, like they're getting ready to pull them up. Like, they ain't wearing masks.
Right.
Okay? So, I'm standing there, and I'm kind of confronted with this decision.
Do you take your mask off to be like them, or do you leave it up?
To protect myself from the virus. So what do you do, Steven?
If I'm you, I put it up because you're going to protect yourself from, protect them from you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't leave their community, right?
They really don't, except for they have this.
They got customers coming in.
Yeah. So I hate to say this, but I didn't really want to look like a pussy.
Oh, okay. Right. So you took your mask down.
So I took my mask down.
Okay. Did they tell you to put it on?
No.
Oh. I thought it was going to be a weird curveball like that. Like,
no, no.
You put it on.
Nothing like that.
Okay.
But in my mind, I had this, you know, like, I'm here to make a business deal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and work these guys.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't want them to think I'm a pussy.
You already did that.
By taking my mask off, you
no,
think?
No, but 2 things.
What?
First, you walked in with a mask to make yourself look like a pussy.
True.
Then you looked at them and said, oh, nobody's wearing a mask. And you said, I got to do what everybody else does and have no.
Not just take worry about myself.
You're conforming to someone else. You're not saying, fuck you, I'm doing what I want. And then you took the mask down to look like you, which also made you look like a pussy. You'd look like less of a pussy if you'd have walked. First, you walked in with a mask. Oh, he's a pussy. But at least he's. At least he's got some consistency in his beliefs. And he's going to walk in here and say, I'm wearing this fucking mask because that's what I fucking think is right. Instead, you're like, oh, you're not wearing a mask? I guess I won't wear a mask either. So you double pussied yourself.
I think I probably did.
Yeah.
It gets worse.
Okay.
They have plexiglass. So they're behind the glass.
Pussies.
Okay. So.
Okay.
While I'm having this conversation and I'm trying to carry myself like a man, which, I mean, let's be honest, I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, like, these are like, these two things right here made me the most excited I've been in the last, like, 3 weeks. Okay. I'm having this conversation with them where I'm trying to be tough, you know, and do my thing. And
is it because they're Amish? Why is this feeling where you have to be?
I don't know.
You needed to walk in like John Wayne.
There's a lot more to it, but I think the funny angle is that I didn't want to be a pussy. Okay. So the guy goes, "All right, what kind of siding would you like?" And I'm like, "Oh shit. My wife told me what color to get."
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
And that's what you told them?
No. I was thinking that in my brain.
Okay. You don't tell them.
No. I don't tell them.
You asked your wife,
no,
I don't think.
No. That's kind of the vibe I got, too.
You tell your wife.
So then I had to do something that might have made them think a little less of me.
What'd you do?
"Excuse me, sir, but I have to go call my wife." So I got out my cell phone.
Oh, boy. You had to walk out there with your little cell phone because you can't live without it. It might as well be the umbilical cord to your wife's belly so she can say, "Yes, dear." I mean, you're already a pussy when you walk in there because they're like, "Why didn't you build your own fucking shed?" So they're for pussy number one. Walks in with a mask, pussy number two. Takes the mask down because he has no consistency. Pussy number three. "Got to call my wife and ask her what color I want this thing." Pussy number four.
Are you ready for number five?
Yeah, I am.
So after I tell him, "Yeah, we want this color siding. I thought that's what it was, but
I was pretty sure it's what I wanted, but
I had to make sure.
I had to ask my wife what I said." Yep.
So then he says, "What color would you like the trim to be?"
Did you step out again?
I said, "I gotta call my wife again."
If the goal was not to be a fucking little bitch, you failed so hard.
I did. So we get through this whole experience, and the guy even made a comment once about, like, I asked him, "Well, how about this?" And he said, "Well, I don't really swing a hammer anymore," because he's older. Mm-hmm. He goes, "So I would have to talk to one of the other guys about it."
That's not how they talk, though, right?
Oh, no, it's funny. He did talk like that with me, but side note, really weird experience I saw was I watched one of them on the phone, like, doing business. He's like, and I'm like, I was saying, like, one of them, like, they're just totally different than me, but he's
they
on,
are a lot different.
I know they're a lot
than
different
you.
Than me, for
I
sure.
Mean.
So he's on the phone. He's like, "Oh, yeah, we'd be interested in that. You want to sell, blah, blah, blah. I need this much, blah, blah, blah." Hangs up the phone, and he walks over to what I'm assuming are his cousins or brothers and sisters or boyfriend, girlfriend, and he says to them, "But I don't do it." And I'm like, "What the fuck just happened?"
Because they got their own little language.
They do have their own little language.
Yeah.
If we have any Amish listening right now, please reach
out.
Sure,
we
to
do.
Us. Please reach out to us. We'd love to have you on the show. So, yeah, I mean, but the guy I was talking with, he was real. You know, I mean, we weren't on the same page or anything,
right,
by
did
any
you
means.
Say take and do a lot.
He can do probably.
Well, you go over here and take your hammer and you take and do it like this.
Nope. He didn't talk like that either.
No, I guess they're not Irish. I went Irish there. Why did I do that? It wasn't what I was trying to do.
So to wrap this up, I spend a lot of money.
Okay.
And enough money that he goes and gets me a couple mugs the same mast mini barns on the side, and he goes, and they're very nice.
Oh, yeah, know? Yeah.
And he goes, you know, these are gifts to you. Also, if you'd like some pens. And I'm like, okay, thanks, you know, blah, blah. And I'm walking out the door, and he goes, we also have these calendars here. And I held up my phone to him, and I go, I haven't used one of those since I got one of these. Like, neener, neener, waving it in his face.
Look at you. Look at you.
I was with your freaking phone.
Dangling it in front of the Amish people. You're such an asshole. They hate you.
Meaner, neener. And I can just imagine when I walk out the door, they're like, hey, Jebediah, you see that bitch have to call his wife? Twice.
It's like, I ain't never getting a cell phone because it could turn me into a pussy like that guy. Oh, I'm so glad I came back to the town after Rumspringa. Oh my god.
Yep. So, get me some pool furniture and a shed. So, it's going to happen. Yep. So, let's talk about some toys.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We are going to forego toy drama.
We are.
Well, I mean, I have, like, I have pages and pages of toy drama.
Right.
If you want to talk about some, we can. But I think because we got so many toys.
Okay.
That we'd really like to discuss.
All right.
What do you think?
I think we should just do toys then.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sorry, it's Pete loves toy drama.
It's Pete's favorite. Yep. Eric Bertram says, from his experience selling sheds, 99% of them are covered in hobo piss.
I bet you they are. Because the hobos are living in them.
Can't argue that. Drunk Gizmo says, sup, guys? And he says, call a shame. Yeah, that definitely was a call of shame. Brandon 4569 says, I keep my mask on, but take off my pants. Nothing says tough like full genitalia display.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try that next time.
I'm sure you will. So, what do we... You see something else?
Yeah, I just... Super Curry Mac says, what the F was that sound that Steve just made?
I was laughing.
Yeah, maybe. I got to go with this one. I think we do have a little bit of drama that we should discuss because it's toy related too.
All right.
Yep. I was trying to get us a little bit out of Mythics because we're going to talk so much Mythics here. But he said... hey, what about that dude that was calling out Jeremy and the Cabal? And Mythic Legion's Cabal, the largest, best-run Facebook group for Cabal. I'm sorry, for Mythic Legions out there.
Yep.
So, weird kind of, did you see these?
I did. I still don't know what he wanted Jeremy to comment about, but I saw the call out for Jeremy to comment.
So what happened was, and I'm going to give you kind of like a brief description because I'm even kind of questioning what was really being talked about. But my understanding was there was a gentleman in the group who wanted to talk about 3D printing items and that the Four Horsemen should stop their current business plan or at least do this as well, which is just give people... digital files that they can print on their own 3D printer. And his thought process was that this is for the future of toys. This is how toys are going to be created, which I understand what he's implying. And you're holding a perfect example right now.
Sure.
Charon's Claw. made by Hobgoblin Customs. And this is a cool 3D printed sword. It's pretty neat that he created for us. The hard part is there is a huge difference between 3D printed items and factory produced items.
Huge, huge difference.
And this is not to say anything about 3D printers, any of those companies out there. Obviously, we are huge supporters of probably four or five. Easy. I do Sculptor Shelf, which is an amazing artist who does mostly, I would say, Marvel head sculpts, but he's done some amazing He-Man. He does all kinds of stuff. The Toy Forge, my action figure customs. Steve is literally sleeping with the people from Wolf King Customs.
I'll say they're sleeping with me, but either way.
Seba's stuff is absolutely amazing.
Yep, Planetary Dogs.
Yep. So we are huge fans.
Teal Titan.
Teal Titan's beautiful stuff.
And there's probably some we're forgetting.
Yeah, some just amazing stuff out there. The reality of it is, if this sword is dropped the wrong way,
it breaks.
Okay? If I take this Four Horsemen factory produced figure and I drop it, realistically, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, but that 3D printed thing on his chest probably will break.
Yes. Now, don't get me wrong.
Not because it's bad quality. Any of them would.
It's just different.
It's different stuff.
It's try different.
To make a, I mean, I don't know. I'm probably talking on my ass a little bit here, but I would expect, and if there's 3D printers out there that want to correct me after I say this if it's wrong, but I think it's pretty hard to create a hand that you can put weapons in, that you can fit a sword in that's flexible enough to do that and have the grasp ability to interchange weapons off a 3D printer.
I am so dumb. Like, that thought never even crossed my mind. But that's a perfect example because a lot of people, one of their complaints is they wish the wrist had multiple swivel points.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, they wish it would go up and down and not just, like the open palm.
Curl versus, yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. And that is one of, and I should say a lot of people, but that's one of the complaints that people have with, like, let's say Four Horsemen hands. Mm-hmm. The 3D printing people aren't making hands.
And if they are,
we never see them.
You see them like this.
Yes. Yes.
They're not going to put a weapon in them.
Yes. And I never even thought about that.
I mean,
you are so much smarter than me when it comes to this stuff.
but I mean, we're even struggling in Wolf King right now, a little behind the curtain. Hope Len doesn't care, but we're talking about handles to certain weapons and stuff. Mm-hmm. In the design phase and how are you going to do that? Because, you actually usually have to put some pressure on those parts
to get them into the hand.
And yeah. you really, by the time you make a 3D printed part and put your stuff on there, how do you make them strong enough to handle that so that you don't just sell it to somebody and the first time they put it in their hands, it breaks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, these are concerns that you have to do. So to just sell parts, it's different. I mean, yeah. it just is. We don't even know 3D printing. I mean, people have been manufacturing these 3D heads for a relatively short amount of time.
For this line
and for other lines. I mean, when has the 3D printing actually gotten good enough to do this?
No, it's 5 years? Five to ten years ago, they probably were doing it, but it's not as good as, it's not even close to what it is right now.
And they probably were using different techniques, different resin, and everything has changed.
Yes.
Okay? Yep. How do we know that these aren't going to fall apart in 5 years?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just degrade or something.
Right,
we don't know.
You don't know.
You know, if you're going to mass produce something, you got to do it at a factory, and you got to do it the old school way.
And why in the hell would the horsemen want to give out their files, even if they were charging for them, and then somebody creates one of their heads on a shitty printer using shitty resin, they don't clean it well enough, and then they're posting pictures of that head and saying, this was created by the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
You know, that makes no sense.
And now I got to paint it.
Yeah.
And sure, there's a lot of people out there that can paint. I can tell you there's more people that don't want to.
Yeah, for sure. I'm one of them. I literally the other day was looking at all these things I have, and that's a little bit of what I brought in too. And I'm like, God, if I could just paint, the difference would be on how much money or sexual favors I'm saving. But the reality of it is one, I still don't want to. And two, I really don't think I would ever be good enough. And maybe that's a hard part too, is because I have, I'm surrounded by so many talented artists. Mm-hmm. You know, you, Hobby Lobby, Bill Zombie, you know, is right now working on a piece for me. Mm. You know, I'm surrounded by these people, and I think that it kind of then when I see something that I'm like, yeah, that's not that good.
I could confirm that you would never get good.
Yeah, I agree with you.
There's a lot of people that can. No, I think you should just
keep paying.
Yeah, just pay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just pay. You know, that's your talent. Is the money in the wallet?
Yeah, that is my talent. I'm not gonna argue with that. So what ends up happening is this guy posts this post, and of course there's some comments, but then he posts another post and calls out Jeremy Gerard, saying, hey, as a representative of the horsemen, what's your opinion on this? And of course, you know, the dude has a life. You know,
Jeremy?
Yeah.
Jeremy's got about four lives.
Yes.
Because he's doing all kinds of different stuff.
And so, like, I understand where people, and he is very active and puts himself out there and answers a lot of questions. But, you know, he's like, I don't even know what you're talking about, you know? And so, like, it's piecing this together. And the guy just kind of kept spamming the group. And finally, like, people are like, how his interaction with people, I don't even think the guy had ill intent or was trying to be, but how he responded to things just came off as kind of rude and snarky. And I don't think that was even his intent.
I kind of don't think it was his intent either, especially in the comments he made after Jeremy's response, which was polite.
Yeah.
But he did kind of come off as, you know, yo, where are you at on this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How come you're not saying anything?
Yeah.
Awful quiet over there, huh? That's how it did kind of come off to me.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess, okay, the cabal, and it's there to discuss things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't hurt anything to bring this idea up and say, why don't we do it?
Very true.
And I think there's a gazillion reasons why you don't do it.
Yeah.
But it's a discussion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's really nothing wrong with that, but no. it did come off as, I don't know, kind of a calling out, you know, reminded me of when, you know, you stand in the ring and you call out, you know.
Yeah.
I'll fight you anytime, anywhere. Yeah. The Rock would come out here.
If anybody back there wants to go, yeah, I'll go. And then also the Undertaker's music.
And then Jeremy Gerard music hits. And Jeremy comes out.
You know, I do think you just brought up a pretty good point about something. And this is, we'll go right into Thanks UPS Guy.
But, sure.
So I just got my latest box.
My Action Figure Customs?
Yes, and what I hate to say about this is you probably already have painted the majority of these if you bought them. Because I was so late on the buy-in on these that I was like in the second wave of, you know, stuff that got mailed out, which is my own fault. But there is something that was included in here that I think stresses like kind of what you just talked about the cabal being this place to communicate things and talk about stuff. So right on the inside of it is a sticker, and it says, if there are any issues or questions, please email us at admin@myactionfigurecustoms.com. Okay? So when I see something like that, I'm like, oh, that's nice. But I also, it kind of gets my gears spinning a little bit from the standpoint of they put that in there because they're tired of people just going on Facebook and saying, yeah, I got my order, but it was missing a piece.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Doesn't that drive you
crazy?
Because
you're not even giving the manufacturer a chance to make it right.
Yes.
You know?
Communicate with them.
Yes.
And then if they give you a hard time or don't take care of you or, you know, Then if you feel like you have to go out and blast somebody someplace, go blast them.
Yeah.
Okay? But if you jump that step, I'm going to tell you right now, 95% of the people in the cabal or a lot of other Facebook groups are actually pretty reasonable people. Okay? Now, some people are like, well, have you been in G.I. Joe Uncensored? Because those people aren't reasonable. No, the reality of it is the majority of people are. You don't hear from them.
No.
They're the people that just get on there and like stuff and read things and enjoy it and maybe once in a while add a comment.
For sure.
But what you're going to get is you're going to get that 5 to 10% of just people that are just plain weird who feel like, oh, I got to go right on the internet and bash this company, which they're the ones you need to work with because they're the ones that got to send you the piece. I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
And we're talking about it in a toy realm. It's everywhere. I mean, it literally is everywhere.
Sure.
You know, social media has created this that if you have a problem, you just go on social media and cry about it.
Yep.
But I think about that kind of stuff. So, which that brings me to my thanks UPS guy.
All right. I'm excited.
Yeah, and like I said, you might have already experienced all these.
Maybe not.
We'll see.
Probably not. I ordered a small order last time, not just because there was so much.
Oh, my God. There was so much at that time frame going on. I ordered a couple neck pegs. They're the pumpkin-stemmed ones.
Okay.
And the whole reason I got them is because I just need a few neck pegs.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? They're going to be hidden anyway, so it'll be okay. On some of the customs I have. This one looks familiar.
Oh, yes. I've painted a couple of these ones. Dwarf head. Leather strap around his bandana area. I love this. I love that sculpt. I showed it last time. I think it was here. I brought in my painted version. It's one of my favorites. This guy I did not order. I'm picking at a little piece on it that's, you know, the supports when they print these sometimes.
Got to get cleaned up a
little bit. Yeah, you just kind of scrape them off and that's fine. This is kind of like looks like a caveman type head.
Oh, yeah. I guess I never really noticed that. That brow was so...
Yeah, he's got a really...
thick?
Yeah.
Thick brow? Mm-hmm. Almost, God, does it almost look like a unibrow?
It does. Well. I'm not sure. It's just his it looks like his whole skull structure just has that thick brow like you'd see on a Cro-Magnon man or something. What you got there? Ooh, that's a cool head. Ooh, I like this head. I wish I had this one.
I would say I'm pretty sure the majority of these are Matt O'Toole sculpted.
This is the one that has the looks like he shaved his head on the sides.
Yeah,
and it's pretty cool. I didn't get that one. I like it though. And then what's this? Oh, there's another one with a really. Now this looks Lord of the Ringsy to me. This guy here, this looks like just a cool thick helmet, screaming face or yelling face. I love that. Very cool.
Cody, when I hold them in front of the camera, is it getting enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Perfect. I just want people to be able to see them.
Yeah, these two guys are great too. I like these a lot, Trev. I think you should give them to me to paint, and then I'll just keep them.
Because I'll just forget about them. And, yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. You tell me which ones you want to paint. And maybe I'll check with Hobby Lobby, too.
Steve, do you use a primer before you paint?
Yes. Is that a question?
Yep.
Yep, I do. I use a Tamiya brand.
Primer.
Spray primer. When I get the fine stuff, I've got the... That's a trick I learned. That's Hobby Lobby. Gave that uses the same stuff, and you want to put it on thin, thin as you can, because you don't want to fill up that detail.
So do you take the primer and do you mix it with water? Or
it's
no?
Like an aerosol can.
Oh, gotcha. It's a spray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The trick is right now in Michigan is it's getting cold.
Yeah.
So painting is kind of a pain in the butt, and you know, unless you get, that's why I got my order from Wolf King the other day that I got a paint of the Judge and the Believer, the two heads for God's Fire, and we actually had a couple of warm days here.
Oh yeah,
unseasonably warm, and I got out and I
spray painted as much stuff as you
yeah,
could.
Yeah, I got them all primered so that it was good.
But. Yeah. Tanik Rock. Tanik. What the hell does that word even mean? Congratulations on 200 episodes of my favorite podcast. Keep up the great work.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're not to 200 yet.
We're working
we're
on it.
We're getting there.
We're working on it.
We're probably closer to 300, wow, to be honest, but.
Keep going. God dang it.
What'd he say?
God damn. It's 10-inch rock.
You're such an idiot.
Shoot. That's a good name.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so that's my action figure customs pieces. I'm super excited about them. These dwarf heads. Matt O'Toole's stuff has been out there for a while. This is really the first time I think he's worked with somebody to actually distribute them. Otherwise, I think he was either doing it through Shapeways or even just sculpting himself. I don't know, but... they look
it's stunning. Funny because when the stuff I ordered, I think from my Action Figure Customs from that same wave, I didn't look at who made any of it.
Yeah.
But the stuff that I gravitated to was Matt O'Toole's stuff.
Yeah, it's
after
beautiful.
The fact I looked, I'm like, oh, I guess I like his stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So good.
Not that I'm mocking the other anybody else.
It's no, but it's just when you see those, they're he just and in my understanding too, the guy works in like movie production, like he creates like pieces for, and which I read that on Source Horseman and I've already of course forgot, but you know, the guy is kind of immersed in this kind of stuff regardless.
Sure.
Yeah. So next up, Hobby Lobby finished this figure for me. I should have brought the Four Horsemen he made for me in, but I haven't had the opportunity, but he made this one for me, and it pretty much what we're talking about here is a Mythic Legions Templar Knight. He used the My Action Figure custom neck piece.
There we go.
Skull. Also from My Action Figure Customs. And if I remember right, no, it's not. I was thinking that was a freebie that they sent, but
that one was not.
No, because the freebie was a regular skull. That's right. This is the chainmailed armored head.
And yeah, which is one of my favorites.
It's just so good.
And you see it a lot now. For a while, it was hard to get.
Yes.
Then he re-released it, and you see it a lot now, but I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, and it's funny is I literally could have an army of that. I just love that head. You know, and not just that head, but then following up. Real fun for me was my in-laws, for my birthday, reached out to... first, they reached out to my wife, who couldn't give them a good idea because... she had used up the only good idea she had, which was a giant pillow to go across the back of our bed.
Sounds like a gift for her.
It's actually now in our son's room.
Oh.
So we had it in our bedroom for 3 days, and it's made it down there.
Oh.
Apparently, one night while we were lying in bed, I must have made a comment that, you know, it'd be nice if we had a big TV or a big pillow that we could sit up against when we're watching TV.
Yes.
Which we haven't been doing a lot of watching TV anymore, but, you know. Regardless, so my mother-in-law reached out to my good friend Jason Nguyen, who was like, how would I know?
Right.
But what Jason is smart enough to do is talk to Steven.
Sure.
And Steven created this figure probably about, I don't know, 4 months ago?
I don't even think it was that long.
Yeah.
2 months, maybe.
And so I have seen pictures of this. I absolutely loved it.
I had that in the studio.
Yep, you've had it here. Yep, the cape, The cape was made by your mom?
Yes.
Yep. It's a wired cape. It's another one of these. It's this one is a army builder.
Army builder, My Action Figure Customs head, with a mom with Grandma Bishotti's wired cape.
And Steven's paint job.
Yeah.
As well as weathering on that armor.
Yeah.
I imagine that army builder cry came from me.
Could have. No, when they did I still have a few.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. When they did that, they re-released them once, and yep. I got 6 or 7 of them.
Yeah. And how many do you wish you got?
50. But it may have came from you because I've done stuff for you and then traded you.
True.
Like,
yes.
I've given you. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome, John.
Is that showing? That looks good, right, Trav?
Oh, it looks beautiful.
All right. Yeah. Travis has got him monitoring it a little bit.
Oh, it looks great.
Cody can't be in two places at once.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
What are we paying him for?
He's doing a real good job. So super excited about that, too. And it was so fun because my mother-in-law reached out and did that. Well, my father-in-law, he was getting me a present as well because they didn't communicate well.
Yeah.
You know? So it ends up they hand me this figure, which my father-in-law goes, I wouldn't have paid $5 for that,
yeah.
Which I know costs more than that. And then they handed me a leaf blower. So like I was like, ah!
Yeah! Something to make work easier.
Exactly.
Something to play.
Which is hilarious, too, because obviously the skeleton is what I really appreciated. But that leaf blower is, you know, going to make me so happy as well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. So that was like awesome. But then last but not least, so Steve, thank you. Amazing. Oh. Good job, buddy.
And I tell you what, I panicked because I didn't even think about one of my customs for a while. In fact, I started writing back to Jason right away. I don't know. He's got everything. He's got every figure. There's nothing out there that he could get. This will take some time. I'll have to put some thought into this.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh. He wanted that when I was on the show before.
Yeah.
So, but he lowballed me on the price. So now I'll stiff his in-laws.
Now I'll get them for double. Oh, so spoiled. And last but not least, yesterday I did a little bit of grocery shopping and did some hunting. And I walked into Walmart and the whole Mr. Fix-It, Joe Fix-It wave was sitting on the shelf. And
interesting.
I'd be honest with you, I don't even really want to talk about the figures that are in the wave. Because as I looked at them, I was like, you know what? I'm going to pass. I'm going to walk right away.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the back and I looked at Joe Fix-It, which is the Gray Hulk, when he went to Vegas and he was acting like a bouncer pretty much because the Gray Hulk's kind of like a little bit of an id. He's my Hulk. I mean, he's my dude. He's my kind of dude. Only can come out at night. And it's such a weird figure. I mean, it is the Hulk in a suit with a hat.
That's
on.
Not gray. That's green. Right?
Gray. I understand how you're looking at it right now, but if you get it in hand, I think you're going to say he's gray.
Okay.
So I bought the whole wave. Because I'm like, I love the Hulk. I need to have this. And I got it. And I'll probably sell the other ones, use a couple pieces. Because Thunderstrike's head, actually, it's got some great emotion. And I'm like, man, I might be able to put that on a Mythic Legion. we'll see, of course. But this figure, I still love the Hulk. He's one of my favorites. I'm going through a very weird cycle right now, and I'm like, as I look at my Marvel Legends, I'm leaning towards selling them. And I've sold the majority of my Star Wars Black. I haven't opened a single 6-inch G.I. Joe yet. I have the majority of them. I'm still out on a couple of the hard-to-find ones, which I did just have somebody reach out to me and ask if I would trade a Ice Troll for a Baroness motorcycle set. And it's so funny because I literally was like, the Baroness motorcycle set to me is worth $45. The Troll at minimum was $90 and is up to like $200 now. Mm-hmm. But value-wise, it is a decent trade.
Right.
Because that Baroness set we may never see again.
May never.
But what we do know we will see again is what?
An Ice Troll?
Yes. And the Baroness probably single packed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Hasbro's gonna do that, right?
Right.
I mean, they do that with everything. You know, they put her out with a motorcycle now. The next time she'll be single packed and maybe something will be different. But I'm really struggling right now to run out and spend a ton of money on a Viper or a Cobra Trooper because I just am like, they're gonna be back. And realistically, the Ice Troll might be back too. The Horsemen want to make this stuff so they can.
The first two trolls came back, kind of.
And I don't think you saw this. There was a guy fishing on the Cabal saying, I'm considering getting a troll. Should I get one? I realize Big Bad Toy Store is going to be the best place to get it, you know, price-wise.
Right.
And Cornboy commented, you might want to start watching Store Horsemen.
Oh!
Yeah.
I'm going to watch Store Horsemen. What's going on here?
So I got a feeling that the Horsemen are going to do what we know they want to do, and they want to get these figures into people's hands. And so we'll see what happens, but I got a feeling that some of these figures are going to make their way back. Now, with that said...
It's not there.
I love this figure. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Cody, can you come in here?
Yeah.
Cody, you... are going to be gifted one of these four figures on the table right here. Okay? You're going to be gifted one.
Hypothetically.
Oh, yeah. I'm not giving you one.
Cody's like, what am I going to do with it? He's like, I don't want one of those.
He's like, I got to look at those here at the shop all the time, and they're in plastic bags and laying on top of each other. You know what? Actually, too, we're going to throw in Pete's. This one we'll actually give you. If you chose it.
Because it's not ours.
Because it's not ours.
Actually, that head might be mine. He never paid me for that.
If you had to pick one, Cody.
Ice Troll.
And I don't blame Cody one bit for saying the Ice Troll.
No.
No. You know, it is a cool piece. It's this big, giant monster. It's an amazing, amazing thing.
Probably this guy.
You think the ogre?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also really cool. And so what's funny here, so Cody's not a toy guy. He likes pops. He's definitely into a lot of these genres. But he literally just picked a figure that has only one paint app piece on it.
Yeah.
And everything is that Army Builder solid gray, which I still think looks amazing. But, you know, the only piece that's on here is this My Action Figure piece that Steve painted expertly. But it just is a cool looking figure. It's this giant beast.
Who doesn't like a giant ogre?
Yeah. And it's amazing how this kind of works that like every little piece has a little bit of something, you know, for somebody. And part of me wondered if he was going to say this because it's just so weird.
That is cool. He's talking about the Hulk.
Yeah.
In the suit. It is a cool piece. I mean, I can see why you want that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. There was a couple other figures in there that actually were cool. Jocasta is one that I would like on my Avengers shelf. The Kang is just beautiful. So there are some cool figures in there, but there's two from the video game, which I'm never going to play, even though it's probably cool. There's a Falcon, which I don't need a classic Falcon. I like his like look from more like the game, and even like his Captain America suit one. But it just it was a weird line. But I needed to get Joe fix it here, so I pulled the trigger on him. Oh God!
So I was lucky enough to score a Mythic Legion's test shot. And this is Aetherion, I think. The horse. So, I gotta say, this horse is awesome. This horse has very good articulation. I love the way that they have made it so that you can put weapons on areas of him. What?
Why couldn't I stay up longer?
You said you didn't give a rat.
You
were like, you know what? I actually called you.
You did call me.
Shortly before, I'd be like, hey, you going to be swinging it out for, nah. Nope. Got to go to bed. I'm like, oh, okay.
I think you called me at 8:40.
Yeah, like you only had to wait up like
15 minutes.
Yeah.
But I was like already pretty much asleep and you call and I like grab the phone and like, ah. And you're like, dude, which one are you going to try and get? And I'm like, nah, I'm going to bed. Oh, yeah, it was so beautiful.
It was the lamest thing ever when you said that. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to have some fun.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
it's so beefy.
I'm going to be having some fun going after him. So I did have some fun, and I got him right away. He doesn't disappoint. Articulation is good. I mean, horses only got so much articulation anyways. They can only do so many things. But I do like that what they gave us works really well, is I guess what I'll have to say to that.
It's absolutely beautiful.
I can only imagine what it's going to look like.
With Aerithra on it.
Painted.
Yeah.
Even though it looks pretty sweet. Unpainted.
What's up, Ryan? Cornboy is here. He said, Kang is the awesome figure in that wave. I totally agree. I love Kang, too. Bob Reiger, good dude. Christopher Kelly. Bob said a guy has to try. He's the one that offered me the Baroness for the Ice Troll. I would tell you, Bob, like, I don't know if you missed it, but stay on Store Horseman.
All the time, 24/7.
Steve is outfitting one of his Godsfire figures on top of this freaking monster. I love the size of the horse. I love it. You know, that's one of the things people have talked about is that the horses are so big. And when I see the figure on there, like, I think it's just perfect.
If they gave us a wimpy horse for Mythic Legions,
how would that even make sense?
You just couldn't do that.
If you want a wimpy horse, go buy the Lord of the Rings ones.
Yeah.
I mean, they work perfect. You can put elves on them. You put dwarfs on them. They look fine. When you put a big old beefy 1.0 body on one of those Lord of the Ring horses, it doesn't work.
Need you to show the sucker off.
Oh, gosh. We're gonna... Yep.
He's going to focus.
Dude, your figure on here is so cool, too.
I can't wait to get... Was it the regular horse?
Yeah. And put him on that.
Oh, five of those regular horses for all five of God's Fire.
Just an amazing piece. I love that shoulder pauldron.
Yeah, that shoulder pauldron is a piece. I should say where that came from. And I forget. Right.
This is so good. Dude, you're right. These weapons attachments, you know, to be able to put all kinds of weapons on. And that's just how good that those guys are, but they're going to think about those little pieces. Like, let's make it so everybody can put, you know, all their weapons that we give all of these characters. They can put it right on the horse. How many horses are you going to have, Steve?
70. I don't know.
They're just so big, so there is finding...
There's a room aspect for it, but I think I ordered three
just beautiful. I can't even imagine. When did we get it in the painted?
Vincent Garma. Cabal mate.
YouTube, I think.
Yeah, he's got stuff on eBay.
eBay.
And, yeah. That's where that shoulder piece came from.
Steve, you did an amazing job with the head, too. This paint job on this figure, that's really good, dude. He looks real.
Yeah.
He looks real.
I tried. He's a boss.
That's...
But that horse...
What do you need for it?
What?
To make that horse come home with me, what do you need?
I'll tell you what you needed. Extra 20 minutes of life. Staying up.
Maverick Salvagen. Maverick Salvagen. Salvagen.
Okay.
Tempted to get the moose and make a mythic Santa custom to ride on it.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Great idea.
Could you imagine using one of these metal tool heads? Dude.
For Santa Claus? Oh, absolutely.
It's Santa Claus.
It is.
It's what you Santa Claus and Mythic Legions would be.
Yeah.
Oh.
Totally. Totally. So, yeah, if anybody was on the fence about the horses, I don't know how you would have been.
What'd the horse cost? The test shot.
100, I think.
$100. I think that's easy money. Easy money for that. To get something that they're, I can't remember what their numbers were for this wave, but it seemed like it was in the 10 to, you know, 20 maybe of these test shots are actually made. And, you know, the test shots aren't for everybody. I do think everyone that gets one kind of falls in love with it.
They're cool looking.
Yep.
I don't care what you say. They just, I mean, I know it's, we get figures, we rave about the paint apps, and then we're like, oh, let's get one with no paint. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in that regard, but I don't know. I just think it's fun. And I don't have a lot of test shots. This is only my second one.
What's your other one?
Thistle Snatch.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good one.
So.
It's beautiful, and I really regret not getting on and pulling the trigger on this thing. I'm not a completist when it comes to test shots, but I think I might be up to 8. I just made a trade for 2 more from Anthony Houseel. So
I've got another one coming too.
Oh yeah, they just weren't packaged together.
Yeah. Fury Orc.
That'll be a good one.
So
Fury the Orcs just look really great in that gray. Absolutely amazing.
So yeah, cool. And then now we get to have some just fun, because who doesn't think that Mr. T and Masters of the Universe shouldn't go together? We've got the Heroic Pitier of Fools, which is exactly what was on his card, which kudos to Mattel for doing that. That's awesome. Speaking of, obviously, the Masters of the WWE Universe, Hobby Lobby hooked me up with a wave of the newest of these figures. Here, check out Mr. T here. He's got a fist. He's got a jitsu hand.
Dude, that's fun.
And he is amazing. I love him.
It's fun. You know, obviously, this line doesn't do anything for me from the standpoint of buying them or anything like that. But it is really fun.
It's just so crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But it's a cool figure. Jake the Snake,
which I've never really been a fan of Jake the Snake.
Really?
No, I thought he was dumb. He didn't wrestle very good. He moved real slow. He looked kind of fat, skinny. He was like tall and kind of slender, but he was like flabby.
I saw him on a plane. I rode a plane with him.
You did?
Yeah, about 10 years ago. And yeah, that dude looks rough.
Yeah.
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 But he's had a rough life too.
Yeah. Now, the cool thing about this Jake the Snake is this is the King Hiss homage. So his face comes off.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
Well, there's more to it. If you take his armor off, he's got some, and it's hard to take off. But yeah, and it works. That action, the fit is very, like, you didn't even expect that, did you?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea. Matter of fact, when you even started talking about it, I thought, like, his whole head must come off. Yeah, that's fun.
So if you take his armor off, he's got a really cool, I don't know what you call this, like a water slide sticker or something. So if you put, now he's got, he's very King Hissy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Fun stuff. I love it.
And I totally get why you, you know, if, the fact that you love He-Man. I totally get why you would have this, you know, this love of these. It's cool, dude.
And now we've got, I haven't opened yet, but we got Seth Rollins kind of outfitted in some Zodak armor. Looks like he has a flaming sword in there. And I think it's funny that they're using classics parts with these. I mean, Mr. T's armor is Jitsu's armor, classics armor.
Yeah.
Reused. And I'm sure that that is the Zodak armor reused. And it looks like it's Drago Man's flaming sword.
Yeah.
In there with him.
Dude, so. the Fiend, the Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt.
That, the pieces that come with him look friggin' awesome. Axe hand and a mace hand.
Yeah. Here he is. I haven't opened that one up yet either.
Oh, man. They did a great job with his face, making it look creepy.
Yeah, he is creepy.
Man, they're doing good stuff over at Mattel.
They are. They're doing great stuff at Mattel.
And like I said, while this isn't for me, it's fun. It's fun, and I get why people love it.
And I got to talk, you know, I didn't bring it in because it's already in my work office, but last time I was here, I said I had received Mezco's Popeye and Bluto set. It is quite possibly my favorite Mezco set I've ever gotten. I love it. I actually bought an extra Popeye body on eBay. Somebody had a body without hands and a head, but it was the body and the clothes.
Yeah.
Because Popeye comes with three different heads, three different hats, you know, a pea coat, a brain coat, and then
hands, probably, right?
And extra hands and pipes and compasses and telescopes. He's got all these pieces that you can't use on one. So I'm like, I bought that extra figure, and I totally dressed that one up with the extra stuff so he looks completely different. And different head on it, different hat on it, different coat on it, different hands on it, different. And so, yeah, so now I've got three Popeyes in my collection, one Bluto. And I tell you what, Mezco's killing it right now. Mezco, everything. In fact, I was so stupid. Lennon and Jeremy Gerard have kind of been like talking to me really hardcore about Mezco, you know, and how they're really liking their like Mezco own made stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Mez and yeah, other characters that they're kind of making their universe out of. So I see this Dr. Fate figure. I have no idea what Dr. Fate is. I thought it was one of Mezco's own things because I didn't know what it was. And it has such a retro, that figure had like a callback retro look. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. So you reached out to them and said, I really love their.
I pulled the trigger, bought it. Then I
now
found out
a DC Mezco.
Then I find out it's a DC figure. Lame. I thought I was going to be cool.
You know what's funny is I, as a kid, always loved Dr. Fate.
I never heard of it.
I barely read any books he was in, but I loved how he looked.
He's got a really cool look.
Yeah, the cool helmet, and it is. But it's funny because then when I think I read a comic with Dr. Fate in it, I'm like, this guy's kind of lame.
What's he do?
He does all kinds of shit. He's very powerful. Very powerful.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
I'll probably be selling a Dr. Fate at some point.
So I've been buying a lot of Mezco.
Yeah.
and not opening them. So I haven't been bringing them on the show, but I have this feeling that one day I'm going to have a big opening party and just open these and play with them. But I still haven't done that. So part of me is still in that, like, buy them to see what value does and then decide if I want to keep them or not. I'm still kind of in that.
They're really cool. I say, you know, if you do ever pull the trigger and get rid of your Marvel Legends.
Yeah.
I think Mezco is the way that you could probably use less space and really satisfy that superhero itch.
Yeah.
Because they're really so cool.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed them. They're so much better than we thought they were going to be in the beginning when we got those first couple in.
Yeah.
We were just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, they were cool, but not. There were some issues.
Yeah.
Yep. And they've really picked up their game.
Yeah.
And their creative owned properties, theirs, they're really cool. And they put so much, like those boxes, when I get them, like if I do open them, I just look to make sure everything's in there. They put so much cool stuff in there.
They do.
Yeah. I don't know. They're just cool figures. So. Yeah, Maverick said he's the Doctor Strange of DC, which is what I pretty much would say he is. I think there's a little bit of difference because I think he can talk to gods and then even access their abilities or something like that. There is some strange stuff with it. The helmet, I think, might be sentient. Did I say that right?
Sentient.
It might be a sentinel. So. Is that all you got, Steven?
That's all I got for toys.
Oh, that was a lot of toys. Shocking. Really in the fantasy realm. He-Man and Mythic Legions. I'm not surprised coming from you, but the fact that we're getting so focused on this line makes me really wonder where this podcast is going.
So focused on Legions?
Yeah.
I know. Well, we're at the point where it's like, okay, we haven't put a Legions cast episode out other than the one we kind of did last week. So yep. I guess we have.
Yeah.
But it's like, what do we do now? Go over and repeat ourselves on Legions cast?
I think we hold Legions cast till next week. We'll,
yeah, probably.
We'll see what happens. Maybe get Peter back in here. I don't know. I am at this weird spot when it comes to my collection that I am trying to figure out what I really want to do.
I am in a very crossroads area too because I'm so focused right now, but I have to give up stuff that I love to continue that, and it's very difficult.
Where are you with your vintage G.I. Joe?
I love my vintage G.I. Joe. I love that my flag is set up, and I love that I've got enough displayed where I can go in and kind of look around at it and be like, you know, yeah, this is my G.I. Joe love. But I'm kind of thinking, you know, I could put it away for a while.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about taking the flag down.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't get rid of it because I'm a pack rat. I can't. I have separation problems. I have, I can't do it.
I totally get it.
So.
The difference for you, too, is, so you sold me the majority of your Marvel Legends. You didn't have a attachment to Marvel Legends based on comics or having them as a toy as a kid. You got into them because they were just such a cool toy, right?
I had a connection to Spider-Man comics, probably as far as...
McFarlane days?
Yep, as far as Marvel's concerned, Spider-Man was my biggest thing where I actually did read some Spider-Man for a while, and it was during that same time I was reading Spawn and that stuff. So I've always kind of been I've always had my head kind of into the superhero stuff, not like you.
Right.
You know, so.
Where I was reading all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never bought the original Marvel Legends.
Mm-hmm.
The Toy Biz, I never was into them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, no, they don't hold as much as G.I. Joe does.
Right.
For sure.
Because Joe is what you grew up with. Joe is what you played with every day. It's what you put in your pocket to take to school.
Yep.
To play with on recess.
And, yep.
And so, like, I totally understand that because, like, I walk into your room and I go, man, those Joes are taking up a lot of room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the flag is, like we've talked about, how big it is, you know, and I'm like, man, like, if I was you, I would sell those Joes, especially right now. It's crazy, you know, it's absolutely crazy. But I also understand that other side of it is you have that attachment to it, you know. And Cody, what'd you play with when you were 10? What toy line?
Toy Story. So were you Team Buzz Lightyear or were you Woody?
Woody.
Who likes Woody? I mean, we all like Woody as a character because it's Tom Hanks. And, you know, but to watch the movie, Woody's a good character. But if you're going to play with a toy, why would you want to play with that versus Buzz Lightyear?
I had the whole line.
And now he's backpedaling. Or at all.
Well, he had the whole line.
He had Slink Dog too, or
Slink Dog.
wasn't that his name?
How would I know?
Cody, we should know. He's being quiet.
Cody's like, fuck you guys. I don't want to talk about what toys I play. I don't even want to be here.
Wrap up the show so I can go home.
Jesus, you guys haven't talked about anything interesting for the last half an hour.
All right. Before we go, I want to warn everybody.
Real quick, before we go. Eric Bertram, two podcasts enter, one podcast leaves. Only rule of Thunderdome.
Two podcasts enter, one... Okay, so...
That we were picking My Wife's Gonna Kill Me over Legion's Cast this week.
Oh. Well, we did do Patreon.
So if you're a Patreon supporter, guess what? There's gonna be one of those for you this week. Jim Bagtest says Toy Story. Yay. Christopher Kelly says, Steve, I'll give you $900 for the flag. PayPal ready. Tell you what, Chris, reach out to Courtney.
No, she's not making those decisions.
If you said $900 for that hunk of plastic, Courtney would have it sent to you the next day.
Yeah, but she would be stupid and not set up shipping, and she'd pay $500 to ship it.
I'd
be really pissed because I got $400 for a flag that's missing like one piece.
J. McClintock said, he said Woody.
I did. Woody.
David Jones says, love the podcast. Christopher Kelly said, I'm testing his love right now. $900, you wouldn't sell the flag.
If I wanted it again, I'd end up spending $900 or more.
Yeah. Yeah. $900, Steve.
Yeah, I know.
You know what, Chris, it's a great idea, but Steve literally just bought a hot tub 2 days ago. He's like just out there just like, okay. So, I mean, while $900 sounds a lot to a lot of us.
Oh, now you're acting like I'm all, yeah, big to, money
to
over
big,
here.
To big money Bishotti. That's, yeah. Oh, that's chump change.
That's
He's already got a bathtub in his house. Matter of fact, probably two of them, but he's like, I want a bigger one.
Okay, Mr. Pool. Mr., I already got like a hot tub thing in my bathroom, a hot tub thing three steps away, and now I had to put a pool in.
We're going to have some fun, though, aren't we, Cody?
I'm not invited.
Of course you're invited. You just won't come.
My eyes are up here. So, all right, so, you know, I wanted to do this a little bit of a public service announcement. It's Christmas season. We're starting in the, you know, starting to get there. Thanksgiving's next week. So I want to warn you guys, because I kind of almost got caught up in this trap. Don't let your wives watch the Hallmark Channel. That shit will poison their brain. All right? I was watching a show the other day, and this fucking show pissed me off so bad that I have forsaken my wife from watching it. I said, all right, new rule, no Hallmark Channel Christmas shit. All right? So, get this. I'm watching this episode. This hot bitch, and you know all these actors, they're freaking hot, but they're like 2 years from where they hit the wall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're all like, this is the last ounce of beauty. I'm starting to get the deep laugh lines. You know, I'm starting to lose all the collagen in my face. My lips are getting thin. I'm just not that hot anymore. And the only thing I can really muster up for work anymore is a holiday classic show on Hallmark. So we get this chick, and she's like pushing probably 35, way over the hill. And so she's got this rich-ass boyfriend, okay? Rich-ass boyfriend takes her out to dinner. It's like the week before Christmas. Shows her this picture of this. He's like this super successful executive, making all just kinds of cash. He's just rolling in cash, but he has to put in a lot of hours, okay, to do that for her, for him, right, and them. And he takes her out to lunch, and he buys her a locket. He buys her this fancy-ass locket. He's like, you know, hey, Christmas present early. I wanted to show you this. First, he shows her a picture of this fucking mansion he wants to buy her so that they can get married. And then he hands her this locket, and she fucking opens up the locket, and she's like, oh, you shouldn't have. It's beautiful, blah, 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 blah. And she opens up the locket, and the locket has one of those pictures in it that you get like in a picture frame where it's someone else because the guy didn't have a chance to go find a picture of them.
Yeah, so she thought it was of another girlfriend or something?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay, okay.
Her face immediately drops and she's like, oh. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't have a chance to put a picture of us in it. And she's like, so she covers it up. Oh, well, it's really nice. But you can tell she was really let down because this guy didn't have the time to fucking go get a picture that she probably wouldn't like anyways. She'd have been like, why'd you pick that picture? I look chubby. I look like I'm retaining water. She probably would have fucking bitched about whatever picture you put in there anyways. But, no, so she's a little bit down, but she covers it up. She covers up her rage, and she's like, oh, she forces a smile. And then he's like, hey, I'm sorry, but I can't go to Christmas with you. I know you were going home to your hometown. I can't. The firm or wherever he works, he's got to put in a bunch of hours to make this money to buy her these lockets and to buy this fucking mansion that she's got to have. And she's like, oh, I understand. So, you know, she goes home. Meanwhile, she bumps into this guy who just happens to be at her dad's house fixing the pipes. Burly bastard, kind of good looking guy, sheepish grin, handy. Fixing everything for her dad. And she's getting wetter than a fucking sponge at the bottom of the sea. Watching this guy. Who just happens to have, she have had a fling in with high school. And she just keeps bumping into him. And she's like, oh, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm fixing up this old house. And I'm doing this. And, you know, money's tight. But I'm fucking, you know, I'm trying. And her dad's like, his daddy's played by a washed up Tom Arnold, and he's like, oh yeah, he's a really good guy, he's a good man, he's grown up to be, and I remember when he used to try to set my hair on fire in school, oh, but he's matured and he's such a good guy. So all of a sudden these two just start bumping into each other all the time, and they just start hanging out and they start flirting and blah blah blah, and she is so smitten with this bastard while her fucking boyfriend is at home working his ass off. She's freaking horny as hell for this other guy that she just met. And Courtney and all their, were rushing. She's like, oh, this is a romantic movie. It's a romantic movie. Oh, she also says, it's a romantic movie to be in a relationship that you're almost going to marry some guy and you go home for a second because he's got to work for you. See this other guy. And now she's ready to give up the, you know, the tuna hole to him.
Did you say tuna hole?
Yeah. It just came on. It just popped in my head. I don't know where that came from, but you know what I mean. I'm so pissed off. And you know, so they have this romantic thing. And you know what happens, of course. She ends up telling this guy, the guy that's working his ass off for her, as he flies in on Christmas night on a fucking jet that he spent way too much money on for the tickets because he just had to see his girl so she could tell him that she doesn't want him anymore. She wants this other guy because he spent the last 48 hours with her. And of course, they stay together and Chump Change gets to go home and fucking be baited to some other bitch when he fucking kisses her ass and loses out. The real thing I want to see is this Christmas movie, part two, where she ends up getting the guy she wants and ends up having to live in this house that he's continually fixing up and bitching all the time because there's a mess and his tools are lying around. And he just can't afford the lifestyle that she fucking wants, right? You know, they don't show us part two when he fucking knocks her up and then she's like, oh, you know what I need? I need a rich guy. I'm going back to the city and I'm taking the fucking kids. They don't show us part two when you get this bitch. And I'm like, Courtney, you can't watch this shit anymore. This is just, it's that stupid shit where everything, you know, just make the girl happy. We got to have a fucking princess life. We got to have all this shit so I can be happy. And then they make think that they deserve it. And all these, you know, I got three girls in my family, and I don't want them to get, you know, poisoned by this shit. So, my advice is get rid of the Hallmark Channel if you can. Don't let your wife watch it. Don't let your daughters watch it. They'll hold you to some crazy-ass standard because of all this romantic bullshit they've seen. Even Courtney's looking at the background of the house, and she's like, why can't our house be decorated like that? Oh, like, do you know how much it probably fucking cost to decorate a house like that? Every freaking cupboard door has a freaking decoration on it in the background.
That sounds awful.
Why can't I live in this fictional town? I deserve it. I'm stunning and brave. TV tells me I'm stunning and brave all the time. I deserve it.
So brave.
Live your best life. You only got one.
You are saying some things that are my mottos.
I'm about ready to hit the wall. Got about 1 year of hotness left in me, and then nobody's going to want me, and then I'm going to say, where have all the good men gone? I'll tell you where they fucking went. They're dating girls 10 years younger than you. Because you hit the wall, and you waited, and you spent your best lives working on your career, and now you've got nothing. You don't have your looks anymore. You can't even get out of a speeding ticket. So that's all I have to say. Stay away from the Hallmark Channel.
Stay away. I just want to say thanks to the people who joined us on YouTube. I think we had about three at the most. A couple good questions that I think would be good that we will think about answering down the road. But Maverick said, so with the Cosmic Legions announcement recently, would you guys do an episode talking about what you guys would like to see for other themed Legion lines? Pirates, prehistoric, etc. That could be fun to talk about. David Jones says, can you guys sign my COVID mask? You send it to us, we will sign anything. He also asked for thoughts on Mando Season 2. I've only watched Episode 1. I am planning on binging the rest here shortly.
Enjoying it.
I loved Episode 1. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Cara Dune, man. She's really... She's Muskegon hot. Indiana pretty.
Maverick said that you are nailing it with these Hallmark recaps.
Yeah.
John said sponge analogy. I freaking love it. Jay McClintock said, amen, Steve.
There you go. Thanks, guys.
Maverick said, wisest words I've ever heard.
Yep. Keep that shit turned off.
Eric Bertram said, how's the lube? I will admit I haven't really got into the lube yet.
No.
Cody? Nope. No for Cody.
I'll tell you who doesn't need the lube. The fix-it guy at that guy's house. Because she's wetter, like I said. Slimier and a toad out in the rain.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. It's been fun. And this is wrapping up episode The Road to 200.
That's right.
Yep.
And here we go. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Keep listening. We'll be back. Hopefully Pete will have time for us next week. We'll see. Until then, check out our Patreon. Check out the support group if you're not in there. You would like to have fun. You like our brand of humor. Make sure you answer that question to get in, or Travis will send you an email telling you to vote for him. That's how it works around here. I guess that's all. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back. Till then, we'll see you around the toy aisle.